Well, good morning, all. Wonderful New England day on this June 14th, which is Flag Day, which is the birth of the United States Army, and also the beginning of Bunker Hill Week, Bunker Hill Day on the 17th. And, you know, in colonial times, the steeple bell, church bell, was rung so the whole neighborhood would hear it if they weren't yet up from their beds. So they'd get out of their beds and get over to the church for worship. Well, today we're going to blow the trumpet in Zion, so to speak, and we're going to issue our call to worship to the whole neighborhood by the shofar. That ought to wake them up. Now we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would give us a rousing opening prayer this morning.
Well, Holy Father, it is truly joyous to be with you, to take time out of our weeks and our lives to focus on you today, on this holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for walking with us through every moment in life, through those that we are thrilled to embrace, and those that are a little less joyful. Things that may be a concern in our lives, things that may be happening in our lives, in our neighborhoods and communities, as there always is. But the other constant through all is you. Regardless of what may be going on around us, you are always within us. You are always holding us close. And Lord, help us to remember that in times of trial and difficulty, when we face our problems, that in fact, we then need to turn and face you and embrace you and receive you. So we thank you, Lord, that we are gathered together today to spend time in your word. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that our hearts be prepared and that you would deliver to us the message through Pastor Lear that you desire our hearts and minds to consider this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you're ready to sing. You should always have a song on your heart for Jesus or something about Jesus. So we will be glad to sing with you. Not sing for you, sing with you. Yes, okay. Well, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing praises to thee among the people for the steadfast love is great. Is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness of faithfulness to the sky. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be over all the earth. Let Thy glory be over all the earth. And that, of course, not only is a song, but it is our heartfelt prayer, isn't it? Especially in times like these. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. Now, you might live in a place where there are no mountains to look up to. But if you look up into the sky and you see clouds, and many times the clouds look like mountains. So we're looking up to the Lord, whether it's actual and standing on a mountaintop or just standing on flat land. A lot of people live in flat land. They don't even see a mountain anywhere near them. Of course, I live in the mountains of New Hampshire, so we got plenty of mountains around to look at, but some people don't. But Jesus is that mountain we look to. Amen?
Amen.
I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. He pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto the rock. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. And don't be a Johnny-come-lately or a Janita-come-lately. You come to Christ now. You confess Christ now. Every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Well, why do you have to wait till that day comes? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to worship him, to bow your knee, to bow your heart. Open your heart. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. You know, you look out over the evening sky when it's clear and you see a zillion stars, and you think, what's beyond those stars that we don't see? And the truth of the matter is, folks, there are a lot of things that are happening in life that we don't see. The Lord is at hand. We don't use some of those terminologies anymore. Some of that's old-fashioned. The Lord is at hand. What does that actually mean? Well, it means the Lord knows all, sees all. He's omnipresent. He's with us. And, of course, He's created the heavens and the earth. And He's created and the sky, those beautiful stars, are His tabernacle. I think about, you know, we put light bulbs in our house or in our buildings to light things up, but the Lord gave us stars in the sky to light up the sky. Oh, He's beautiful, and what He does is so beautiful. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, worship us, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Oh, the people of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Interesting in that verse, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture. But we could also put in there, we are the people of His pastor. We are pastored by the Lord. And I can tell you the challenge to me as a pastor in asking the question, what is a pastor? Well, we knew that that word comes from the word pater, which means father. But what does it mean to be a pastor in the 21st century? And what does it mean to be a sheep? And a lot of people will say that most of the people today are not really sheep, they're sheeple. Because they're very sheepish. And sheep are skittish, they get scared easily. They're taken advantage of, they get sheared, and of course later they get butchered and eaten. And wolves love sheep, because it's easy to catch the sheep, it's easy to confuse them. They do silly things like sticking their head through the fence and getting caught. Yeah, why did the Lord describe us as the sheep of His pasture, or the sheep of His pastorate, you might say? Well, give that some thought. It's been a while since I have actually read some of the things to you from Technocracy News, but it certainly is important these days. It always has been, but it's even more so. Experts. Beijing. You know where that is. Capital of China. Communist China, Maoist China, Beijing technocrat takeover of UN presents existential threat to US. You think? I've been trying to tell people this for years. This was written by Alex Newman. China spreads its tentacles of technocracy by taking over sections of the United Nations and then using that influence to launch propaganda campaigns in the rest of the world. This is not incidental, but rather existential to the United States. Now, when we use the word existential in this case, a lot of times existential means something other than this. It means this is very prominently important to the United States because China is invading us. They're already here invading us, folks. Don't be deceived by the news media or anything else. China is here, and China controls a lot of our news media in making sure that they're looked at as the good guy and not the bad guy and so forth, that the U.S. is the bad guy and deserves to be destroyed. Well, I get news for you. United States does not deserve to be destroyed. United States, definitely America, needs to repent of blood guilt for abortion, homosexual marriage, and a variety of other things that have been brought in that are not part of United States and America and the American Constitutional Republic, but we do not deserve to be destroyed by our enemies. The World Health Organization, WHO, you remember Doctor Who? I used to like that program. Doctor Who says, asymptomatic spread of COVID-19 is very rare. What? They're coming out again and saying stuff that's different than what they've been saying about COVID-19 now that they've got everybody scared literally to death and people walking around. We went in the grocery store the other day and were so bold as to go in there without a mask on and went into Lowe's and went into all these different places where we were amongst the very few not wearing a mask. We see people driving around even outdoors in their car wearing masks. People are terrified of getting this virus. And as I told somebody recently, I've said it over and over again actually, I'm more concerned about losing my liberty than losing my life to a virus. We're all going to lose our lives to something. But give your life up for something good like the cause of Christ. So on Monday, Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove of WHO released information that would prove the great panic of 2020, the lockdowns, isolations, and quarantines, and the resulting destruction of the global economy were for naught. N-A-U-G-H-T. Wow. Who's paying attention to that? All these governors and everything that have been acting like tyrants, our governor here in New Hampshire included, and I've told him so. Well, in my quips and quotes for today, you plan, you prepare, you act, and you evaluate. You plan, prepare, act, and evaluate. You should be doing that, folks, individually, as families, and the whole country. In 1913, Ohio-born Methodist evangelist George Barnard introduced his new hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, during a revival he was conducting at Pokagon, Michigan. I can tell you that the Methodist Church today, mostly known as the United Methodist Church, would not invite evangelist George Barnard to the church, and certainly don't like singing the old rugged cross. In the absence of moral restraint, sin begets sin. So for all the folks that want to get rid of police departments, want to get rid of churches, want to get rid of pastors, want to get rid of government, in the absence of moral restraint, sin begets sin. Just the way that we beget babies through the natural means, sin begets sin. Above all these words of C.T. Studd in mind, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Where there is no law, there is no liberty, and nothing deserves the name of law but that which is certain and universal in its operation upon all the members of the community. Benjamin Rush, 1788, one of the great men of the founding era. Without liberty, law loses its nature and its name and becomes oppression. Without law, liberty also loses its nature and its name and becomes licentiousness. And that was written by James Wilson, signer of the Declaration of American Independence in 1790, and he was a judge. And he knew what he was talking about. And we see a lot of licentiousness now. Many people that call themselves libertarians are really libertines, and they're into licentiousness, and this is not true liberty. It is the manners and spirit of a people which preserve a republic in vigor. Degeneracy in these is a canker which soon eats to the heart of its laws and constitution, Thomas Jefferson, 1781. If the people are capable of understanding, seeing, and feeling the difference between true and false, right and wrong, virtue and vice, to what better principle can the friends of mankind apply than to the sense of this difference? John Adams, 1775. And as I often have said, these men and women of the founding era were prophetic. They were speaking prophecy. They were speaking from the Bible. Here's some words for you that I want you to get in your vocabulary and in your toolbox. Resilience, grace, patience, hope, joy. Resilience, grace, patience, hope, and joy. And by the way, I'm going on record. I've said it before, but it's worth saying again. There is only one race. Human. Period. Skin color is not a race. The truth is difficult to accept when you've believed something for so long and it turns out not to be real. Sedation and ignorance work for a time until the barbarians are at the gates. And folks, the barbarians are at the gates. Here in America, the barbarians are at the gates. Here in America, the barbarians are at the gates. Bredon Circus sedated the people of Rome until the Goths, Visigoths, and other barbarians sacked Rome because the Romans were sedated and at ignorance for a time, and the barbarians were at the gates. Today, the United States finds herself in the midst of making a choice. It's true that our coins have "In God We Trust" stamped on them, but it's probably equally true that our nation puts more trust in the money where the acknowledgement appears than in the God who supplies all wealth. Have we come to the place where we now believe that my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth? Deuteronomy 8:17. God's assessment of such presumption is not easy for an unrepentant nation to take. If individuals be not influenced by moral principles, it is in vain to look for public virtue. It is therefore the duty of legislators to enforce both precept and example, the utility, as well as the necessity of a strict adherence to the rules of distributive justice. James Madison, 1789. And I know these are terminologies that are 18th century terminologies like distributive justice. Well, I'll tell you what, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, I'm trying to get distributive justice put upon you. Yeah, me. Francis of Assisi, I've always liked him, called St. Francis, famously prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is discord, let me bring union." I'll read that again, because we definitely, as Christians today, in the circumstances of our country right now, need to put this in proper perspective. Francis of Assisi famously prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is discord, let me bring union." In 1742, English founder of Methodism, John Wesley, wrote in his journal, "Oh, let none think his labor is lost because the fruit does not immediately appear." And I'll tell you what, Lord, help me with this. Because sometimes I feel that all my labors have not borne much fruit. Now, I know it's not true. It can't possibly be true, because whatever you do in and for the Lord always bears fruit, sometimes, someplace, whatever. And of course, we have been exhorted in Scripture to patiently wait and continue to be steadfast. But we all need the encouragement that only really the Holy Spirit can give us. And truth finds those who seek truth. Well done is better than well said. And my theme for today's message, if you will, is truth finds those who seek truth. Keep that in mind. Truth seeks those who seek truth. And take your Bibles in hand. Turn with me to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, 24th chapter, or some people say the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew probably wouldn't have called himself a saint. But all of us that trust in the Lord as Savior could be justifiably called His saints. We're going to look at a few verses there. I exhort you in the future to look at the entire chapter, obviously. Today we'll read a few verses. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8. I'm going to ask the ever-lovely Mrs. Lear if she would read from verse 1 to 4, and I will read from there to verse 8.
Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." That was Matthew 24, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version.
And I'll continue reading from there, in the English Standard Version as well, at verse 5. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then will many fall away, and betray one another, and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise, and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now I'm going to stop reading there, and it's further reading than I had expected to do, but hey, let the Holy Spirit lead you when we're doing these things. So, as I said, I want to use as a theme today, truth finds those who seek truth. And I will use as a sub-theme that I've already mentioned to you, well done is better than well said. We've got a lot of people that are saying the right thing, but they're not doing the right thing. And of course, we know in the book of James, it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so many people are saying the right thing, but they're not doing the right thing. And they're not taking the action that they need to be taking. So as we look at this, and the main theme, truth finds those who seek truth. Of course, the Lord tells us in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Many are going to fall away who have known the Lord and loved the Lord. And of course, we're not going to get into the debate today that's continually goes on. Can you be saved and then can you be lost? Well, maybe you weren't saved in the first place and that's why you got lost, because you really weren't saved. The doctrine of eternal security and all those kind of things. People, all I'm basically going to say to you is I've basically said to people for so long is you need to read the Bible for yourself. You need to pray, seek the Lord, fast and pray, whatever means, get into your prayer closet. As somebody said the other day, I've got to take a vacation from the news media and from Facebook because I'm getting so depressed. What should I do? And I said, well, how about going in your prayer closet, closing the door behind you, get your Bible and your notebook, and fast and pray and seek the Lord. How about that? And the person actually thanked me for that instead of rebuking me. Usually when I say stuff like that, especially in open forum, I get rebuked, I get thumped, I get put down for it. But I do it anyway because I know it's right and I know it's true. Because it's not just a matter of what I'm saying, it's what I'm doing. And Jesus answered them and said, see that no one leads you astray. Well, we're being led astray. Friends of mine they never turn the TV off. And they're watching the news media without believing and knowing that that news media has been corrupted a long time ago. There's hardly a one that you can believe. I mean, I guess pretty much at the time right now, the only one that has believability in major news media is Tucker Carlson, and they're trying to get rid of him. He's up on an island in Maine somewhere right now. But the point is, the news media is controlled by the communist Chinese, by the leftists, by the Islamicists. As one person said, China owns half of Washington, D.C., and the other half belongs to the Saudis. In other words, the Islamicists. They want to destroy churches. The Chinese have the Maoist, Marxist agenda. And on their agenda, as I proved years ago, from the American Humanist Association, the American Communist Manifesto, is churches must be destroyed. And they've been destroyed from the inside out for years, denominations that cannot be trusted. I mean, you've got to ask yourself this question. Why did so many churches obey the order to close their doors? Some of them have still not opened for worship. Now, I know you can worship by TV. I know some people have said they've actually enjoyed it. Or worship in the parking lot, or over the internet and Facebook Live. All those things are viable options. I'm not going to say they're not. But even still, there are people who are saying, I want to go and meet with other Christians face to face. I want to sing songs with other Christians face to face. I used to tell people, because when I preach, sometimes vapors come out of my mouth or particles come out of my mouth, and I used to tell people, look, if you don't want to rain, wear a raincoat to church. Don't sing it, sit in the front row when I'm preaching. Because chances are I might get some droplet of spit on you. Not on purpose. It's just when I get going, sometimes that happens. You know, that's the way it is. So if people don't want that, that's fine. But that's their choice. Government has no authority to tell us how to worship, where to worship, when to worship, or any of those things. And the reason why is because our Puritan forefathers, yes, Puritan forefathers, that's who came over on the Mayflower, they were revolting against the Church of England and the dictates. If you did not worship Church of England style, you would be persecuted, imprisoned, in many cases even killed, executed. So the Puritans, the Pilgrims, left from England by way of Leyden-Halden and also from England itself and came to America to revolt against that. And so that's our underpinnings in this country, and our founding fathers at the time of the Declaration of American Independence put that in there, and of course in the Bill of Rights, the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. These are not accidental things, folks. And so nobody has the right or authority to come up with statute or the color of law that abandons those things. We still have a constitution. Our principal founding documents are still in order. Just like the Bible is still the Word of God. And God's law outranks all human law. And our founding fathers did not, as we're celebrating the 245th year of Bunker Hill, we'll be there on Wednesday, even though we've been told to stand down. Can you imagine that? We've been told to stand down for Memorial Day, stand down for Easter, stand down now for 4th of July and all these other things. No, I'm not going to stand down. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. My ancestors were there. They fought. Many died. I'm not going to stand down. Why should I stand down? I'm not doing anything wrong. The people saying stand down are doing wrong. They don't maybe know that. Well, I'll be glad to shout it out to them. Some people are just too polite anymore. Don't be so polite. Be very biblical. Don't be so polite. Be constitutional. And don't be surprised that if you really love truth, and you cannot say you love truth and you don't love Jesus, because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, and the only truth, the only way, and the only life. John 8:32, and ye shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because truth finds those who seek truth. Are you really seeking the truth? Because Jesus is seeking you. If you're seeking truth, he knows you're seeking truth. Just like I'll say to people, you can't say you're trying to find me. Well, why do you say that, Garrett? Because if you really were trying to find me, you'd find me, because I'm not hiding. And if I know you're trying to find me, I will help you find me. I give you my telephone number. I give you my fax number, I give you my street address, I give you my cell phone number, I give you my Facebook name, I give you my email address, I give you all these things. So if you're really trying to find me, don't tell me you're really trying to find me, or don't tell me you're really trying to help me, but you couldn't find me, because you can do a Google search and find me in 2 seconds. And if you don't do Google, and you don't have a computer, and you don't have a telephone, you can call a police station and ask them. Call the town hall and ask them, and, you know, or call the governor's office in New Hampshire. They all know where I am. Even the bad guys that don't like me know where I am. I don't hide from them either. Maybe I should, but I don't. And remember, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Now we know that the Lord said, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of the birth pains. So what we're going through right now, which could justifiably be called the end times, are birth pains. Birth pains? It looks like the end of something. Well, for a woman just about to give birth, the pain she's going through will end at the birth of the child. Well, sort of. Then as she's mothering the child growing up, there'll be plenty of pain in that. But the birth pains will be over. Why? Because a new life has been born. Well, it's the same thing with end times philosophy or end times prophecies, because a new world is coming. The UN and the globalists think a new world order is coming. I got news for them. There is a new world order coming, but it's not your new world order. It's Jesus's new world order. It's for those that truth finds those who seek the truth, and those that are doing well better than just saying what's well. And those that are not deceived, that are not allowing themselves to be led astray. If you really are a truth seeker, the truth will find you. Because many people, a fellow came to deliver something for me the other day, and he said, well, who do we believe? They're all saying such different things. I said, well, Ed, I'll tell you who I believe. I believe the Bible, and I believe Jesus Christ. And the people that believe Jesus, and the people that have shown me with the fruit of their life that they live for him and believe his word, those are the people I'm likely to trust and believe. But I do my own homework. And I don't listen to a lot of people. They're just going to take up my time, waste my time, who I couldn't believe a word they're saying anyway. People used to say, well, follow the money. And, you know, that sometimes following the money leads a trail to who's paying for what and who's behind what and so forth and so on. But it's really more than that. If you're really seeking the truth will find you. If you say, Lord, help me, God, the Holy Spirit, to not be deceived by what I'm seeing around me. And as I close this message today, we keep them short because we post them on the internet, make it easy for you. I think about the prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi. Gehazi looked out and he said, all I can see is the enemy out there ready to attack us, and there's more of them. than us. Elisha prayed over his servant Gehazi, and he said, "Oh Lord, open this man's eyes to see what's happening." And suddenly Gehazi opened his eyes, and he, "Wow, I see angels with flaming swords of fire, and there's more of them than there are of the enemy." Do you know what? Folks, listen carefully to what I'm just about to say. That's still true today. June 14th, 2020, Anno Domini. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.